Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During the month of July, we've been studying the book of Colossians. In chapter 1, Paul describes the greatest rescue mission of all time, being rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Through the cross and empty tomb, Jesus rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into his kingdom, the kingdom of light. In chapter 2, Paul describes that being a citizen of the kingdom of light means we're now free, free from sin, free from the power of the devil, free from death itself. We're no longer helpless victims. We are spiritual warriors in the kingdom of light, fighting against the forces of darkness in this world. Today, we get to chapter 3, in which Paul describes the new life we now live in Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we live a new and better life. No longer turning to the old self, the sinful nature, what, in the words of Star Wars, is the dark side. No longer will we be the worst version of ourselves, but through the power of the Spirit, we can start to become the best version of ourselves. Paul calls that worst version, the selfish version of ourselves, the old self. The best version of ourselves is the new self. The new self is given to us in baptism. Now, the acts of the old self, the sinful nature, are obvious. They are listed in verses 5 through 11. Lust, sexual immorality, greed, jealousy, anger, bitterness, rage, malice, violence, slander, hurtful words. When you hear that list, what do you think? I think, yuck. Who wants to be like that? But all of us understand that the old sinful nature is part of us. It's part of the evil that lives inside each and every one of us. And that will be there until the day we die and go to heaven. Then we will be rid of it forever. Thanks be to God. But in the meantime, we're stuck with the old sinful nature and we daily battle against it, right? Here's the good news. That old self is not the real you. The real you, according to God's word, the Bible, is the new self, created in Christ, given in baptism, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The new self is the best version of yourself, the person you're created to be. And that's what Paul describes here in Colossians chapter 3. We're not to become someone different. We still keep the same body. We still keep the same personality. We have the same interests and tastes, but we're new from the inside out. We become the best version of ourselves. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. As a new people in Christ, we have a new way of thinking, new values, and a new attitude. Let me start with number one, new thinking, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. As new people in Christ, we think differently than the world. By the world, I don't mean the planet we live on. I mean the sinful culture we live in. People of this world, including our own sinful natures, focus on themselves. I want this and I want that. And if I don't get what I want, I'm going to get angry. And I'm going to write mean stuff on the internet. And I'm going to hold my breath until I turn blue. Paul encourages us to quit focusing so much on ourselves, so much on earthly things, and set our hearts and minds on things above. Set your hearts on things above. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so he is. So becoming a new person starts with thinking differently. If you want to change your life, start with how you think. But how can I change my way of thinking? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does by the power of his word, the Bible. Through the scriptures, the Holy Spirit transforms the way we think. When our thinking is transformed, our life is transformed. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have a choice. We can be conformed to this world, the thinking of this world, or we can be transformed by the power of God's word. You can either be focused on yourself or, through the power of Christ and his word, focused on God and others. We could be conformed to the world or transformed by God's word. So that's why at St. Matthew, we encourage everyone to be in God's word. We encourage everyone to be in church every week. We encourage everyone to be in Bible study or Sunday school every week. We encourage everyone to have personal devotions each day, maybe using something like portals of prayer. The more time we spend in God's word, the more the Holy Spirit can work his powerful transforming work in our thinking. The more we start thinking, according to Philippians 4:8, thinking tenerpla, remember tenerpla? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, to be a new person, to live this new life means to have a new way of thinking. Second of all, it means new values or priorities. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. As new people, not only do we have a new way of thinking, we also have new values, new priorities in our life. I love that Paul uses the idea of clothing yourself. I think that was especially relatable for the Colossians because Colossae was a city known for its clothing. It was most famous for Colossian wool, wool that was dyed scarlet or purple. Those were difficult colors. Only rich people and kings could wear scarlet or purple. Colossian was known for its scarlet wool, its purple wool. Paul says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, forgiveness, love, and peace. You may notice that sounds like a lot like from the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. That's not an accident. It's pretty much the same list with it is the fruit of the Spirit with a few extra virtues thrown in, right? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. On your sermon outline, you can circle those virtues that are common to both lists if you like. Kindness, gentleness, patience, love, and peace are all mentioned specifically here. And the others are inferred by what Paul writes. Now, I love a good list. So does Paul. He likes to make lists of specific virtues we should be practicing in our Christian life. We don't have just new thinking, we have new values. Now, value is just what it says, that which is valuable to you. Your values determine your priorities. You can't do everything. There's not enough time for that. You'll end up doing and giving attention to those things that are most valuable to you. Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You spend your time, your attention, and your money on that which you think is valuable. Now, the world's values, the values of our old sinful nature, the dark side, is different from God's values. The values of this world are power, prestige, and popularity, right? Everybody wants to be powerful. People want power, power to control others. Everyone wants to be in control. People want prestige, success, and recognition of their success. They want the trophies. They want the awards. They want everything that goes with success, including money. And people want popularity, right? We all want to be popular. We all want a little bit of celebrity. We all want our 15 minutes or more of fame. Now, those things are not bad in and of themselves. They can be blessings from the Lord, especially when used in the right ways. But they are not what God considers most valuable. God's values are summed up in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why does God focus on these virtues as valuable? Because what matters the most to God is not power or prestige or popularity. What matters most to God is people. Jesus Christ didn't die for prestige or to be popular. Jesus Christ died for people. People are whom Jesus loves. And that's what God would like for us to have as our same priority as well. Relationships. And these virtues listed in the fruit of the Spirit are the keys to great relationships. Nothing matters more to God than relationships. God wants us to love Him and love people. Look at these virtues again. They're everything you and I would want in a friend or in a spouse. We all would want a family member or a friend who is full of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and forgiveness and love and peace. Never had anybody, you know, say, I just can't get along with my brother. He's too patient with me. I wish he wouldn't be so forgiving all the time. Nobody says that because those are the keys to great relationships. And who God wants you to be, that's who God wants you to be so you can have great relationships with God, with your family, with your friends, with your church, and everyone else. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, is a kingdom of loving relationships. That's what matters to most. In other words, it's all about love. In fact, that's what John 3:16 tells us, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Kingdom of God is a kingdom of loving relationships, not just life for a lifetime, but forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Finally, number three, we have a new attitude. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or speech, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God wants us to have a new life. That means a new way of thinking, new values and priorities, and finally having a new attitude. The attitude of the sinful nature and this world is obvious, right? The default attitude is grumbling, whining, and complaining. You might notice that people tend to complain a lot. Grumbling, whining, and complaining is not the exception. It is the rule. You may have noticed that the world is far from perfect and far from fair. There are a lot of people who want to tell you about that. If you choose, you could legitimately spend the rest of your life grumbling, whining, and complaining. You could, but why would you want to? That kind of misery only leads to more misery. Not just for yourself, but for everybody around you. I don't think anybody wants to spend the rest of their life grumbling, whining, and complaining. There's got to be a better way. And there is. Paul tells us to get rid of grumbling, whining, and complaining, and instead rejoice, give thanks, and sing. Life's not easy. Life's not perfect. But we have so much to be thankful about and so much to give thanks for. For instance, most importantly, forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ, the greatest and most important of all of God's blessings. But lots of other great blessings besides that, like, oh, I don't know, family, friends, dogs, cats, theme parks, water slides, pizza, ranch dressing, milkshakes at Chick-fil-A, just to name a few. We have so much to give thanks about. We have so much to give thanks about. This week, I had the privilege of spending the last week with our youth and adult leaders at the National Youth Gathering in New Orleans. I'm so proud of our youth and adult leaders at the National Gathering because even though we had some challenges and some difficult times, they always kept an attitude of joy and thanksgiving. Now, I don't know if you know this, but New Orleans in July is really, really hot and really, really sticky. And we daily walk 20,000 steps in New Orleans in the heat of the day. And it would have been easy to start to grumble and complain, but that's not what they did. I was so proud of our adult leaders and youth. They were models of joy and thanksgiving, and they were always ready to sing joyful praises to the Lord. Now, I thought to myself, where did they learn that from? Well, from their parents, of course, because their parents have such positive attitudes and their families that surround them, and from their youth leaders, and from their Sunday school teachers, and from the other adults at St. Matthew. And that's what I appreciate about St. Matthew. It is a joyful place full of the joy of the Lord. And I think ultimately our joy comes from the Lord and from his word, the Bible. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you is summed up in three short sentences. Rejoice always, pray and ask for help, and give thanks always. As new people, we want to have a new way of thinking, new values, and a new attitude, not an attitude of grumbling, whining, and complaining, but a life in which we rejoice, give thanks, and sing. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.